Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's like me and this priest and my other brother who's not on Twitter. He doesn't know anything. He's on the podcast. He doesn't know anything about anything. We're just talking to this priest. And I asked him, what's the most exciting thing that's going on in ministry right now? And he starts telling me about how there's all these young men that are getting introduced to conservative classical ideas through people like Nick Fuentes and Bronze Age Pervert that he's having conversations with and like bringing them into the faith. And I was like, oh, you're talking. So we started talking about Nick Fuentes. And my brother was like, who's Nick Fuentes? I was like, ah, he's this homosexual. It's not super important. But he's... And then we brought up Bronze Age Pervert. He's like, who's that? I goes, he's just a different homosexual. That's also not important.
Also not important.
It was just this great, great conversation. So we were talking to this priest. He's like, yeah, there's all these different right-wing influences. Some of them positive, some of them negative. Some of them are closer to the truth. Some of them are further away. But overall... there's a lot more. He said he was at a bar and he was heard a conversation of like four dudes talking about original sin, just like on a Friday night, you know, and they saw his collar and they're like, Father, get over here. We need some, let's help us talk about this. Only like three of them, one of them was Catholic. The other three weren't. They just were, They were just chatting it up. So it's not like these are converted Catholic people who are talking. It's just like dudes are having conversations about God and spirituality and the soul in their position in life. And I was like, that's cool. That's interesting. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that looks like someone messed up a gender reveal. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. That's funny, dude.
Thanks.
You know, I almost wore my blue version of that shirt, which really would have been funny. Yeah.
I got Patrick's wearing a very bold, I would call it nearly indigo polo.
Oh, yeah?
It looks like the color of the ocean when you only have like four crayons available to you, you know, and you just have to pick.
I just have to do this one.
The bluest blue, and I'm wearing a pink Ralph Lauren, which I don't know if that's how it's said. But
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. That I got at Goodwill.
Is this the main show?
Yeah, we're doing the main show. I got to update you. My name's Ethan. This is Patrick. This is The Crunch, yes. A Catholic podcast that's dedicated to entertaining and informing people about the truths of the Catholic faith. We were going to have...
occasionally, we inform each other about what we're doing for the episode.
Yeah, just right now, James had to cancel. You didn't see this in the Discord, but he calls me this afternoon at like 3 o'clock. We have a good friend, James McCann, who's a rising star comedian. And he calls me and goes, I can't do it tonight. And I was like, I expected this, you know, I understand. I was like, oh, do you have stand up or, you know, what do you have going on tonight? And he goes, oh, I just have a chance to hang out with Joe Rogan. So I'm going to take that instead. And I was like, you're bumping us for Joe Rogan?
Understood.
Fine, you, okay,
if you're
going
to bump us for Joe, you have to at least name drop us.
Yeah. All right. What I was going to do is hang out with my two friends, Ethan and Patrick. And here's their bank account routing number for you, Joseph Rogan.
Joe is going to hang out with James one time and he's going to be like, come on the podcast. We're going to get James on the Joe Rogan show.
They definitely know of each other. They've seen each other enough times at the comedy club because he recorded his special at Joe Rogan's. That's why he was going to come on tonight, was because his special's coming out this Monday. I don't know the name of the special, but go to James McCann on YouTube. James Arnold Forrest McCann on YouTube.
It's not the crowd pleasure one, right?
No. It's a different one.
I really hope he doesn't do a whole
special with crowd
work.
It's like a 45-minute proper stand-up special with all of his good jokes. Good. You know, go. We'll link to it. Go watch it.
I wanted to talk to James about the crowd work problem, the crowd work epidemic that we're having in the stand-up comedy world.
Yeah,
there's comics that's just their whole thing is crowd work.
Is that a problem?
Yes. It's hacky and annoying.
I did see the one a lady with tattoos have a complete meltdown when someone heckled her back. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's a heckler's dream.
Yes, I feel like if you're, oh, you can't be a woman comedian. And I say this out of like gentleness and love for and women out there and charity. You can't be a woman comedian and respond with anger. You can't have a meltdown because the guy who's heckling you, the woman comedian, is probably being like, she's just a woman comedian. She can't handle this. And then if you can't handle it, then you've done nothing to advance the cause for women in comedy. Yeah. You've taken this backwards.
I was rarely heckled, but the one time I was heckled, it went great.
Yeah. What did they say to you?
I'm not
going to
tell
comedy?
The story. That's lame. That's lame.
Yeah.
Just say that it happened and I'm not going to back it up.
That's what? Sad. Well, I wanted to hear the story. You walked me up. You led a horse to water, and then you sucked out all the water from the pond with a big old hose, and now the horse can't drink.
I forget exactly what it was, but this girl was yelling at me about like Pokemon. I made like a Pokemon joke, and she asked me what my favorite Pokemon was, and we had like this good repartee. You know,
it
was, like,
you really it were it a comedian negative, when you were in high school. So Pokemon jokes.
Yeah.
Is anybody
one time a guy sat down next to me and he was like workshopping his act he was like, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start off and I'm gonna talk about sex.
Nice.
And then I'm gonna talk about weed, and then I'm gonna talk about porn. And I was like, dude, you know you have like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, you should do a joke about you do a joke about black people and how they are different than white people after that.
My friend who used to do stand up with me, he said the N-word on stage. He was not a black person, and it didn't go well for him. It didn't go poorly.
Did he have like a Kramer-esque meltdown? I'm gonna shut the vent in my closet real quick because it's blowing hot air on me.
Oh, this is great podcasting right here. You look nice. Where were you going today?
I work every day. I have a job.
You work from home.
I dress up. I work from home. That's it helps put me in the it puts me in the mood. It's an aphrodisiac, but for work, whatever you call that.
It's a work rhodesia.
A work rhodesia.
That's great. He didn't say it in anger like Kramer from Friends. He didn't say it in anger. He said it like, I can say it, and then he said it. Mm-hmm. And everyone was kind of just like, you just said the N-word.
You just said it. Yeah, why'd you
say it? And it was like everyone in the room was just kind of disappointed in him.
Yeah.
It was the worst possible.
Yeah.
It was the worst possible outcome. Because you can't go. The problem with shock value, the same thing was the issue with that one guy who sat down. He's like, I'm going to talk about sex and then porn and then weed. It's like at a certain point, you run out of shock.
Yeah,
you can only say I love Hitler so many times before people are like, all right, cool, that guy loves Hitler, that's fine, we're gonna move on, you know.
Clip Patrick saying I love Hitler
apropos of Mr. West. Yeah,
Mr. West. Oh, Kanye West.
Yeah,
yes, from his aforementioned comments earlier this week.
Yeah, his aforementioned psychotic break and or demonic oppression.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Kanye and Pope Francis had a week together.
They really did.
They went to the ayahuasca hut, and they both hit that hit the ayahuasca bong. I don't know what you smoke it out of, and they just went on X, and they're like, I'm gonna start some stuff. I'm gonna get
Katie Prejean McCready in a meeting that we had with a cardinal from the.
You had another one?
Mastery of Communication. No, this is the first one. This is the only one.
Oh, okay.
She was like, the Pope needs to run his own Twitter account. And I agreed at the time, and now I disagree. I do not agree.
I think we would just find out that the Pope, much like everybody everywhere, only cares about American politics.
Yes. Yeah, and doesn't know.
Being an American Catholic right now is great. It's like being
Batman.
Everyone
cares about you.
Everyone's looking for us. Everyone's trying to pin us down. Like, oh, you're this, that, the other thing. We're Batman.
Genuinely, people are going to look back at the American Catholic Church today the way that people looked at the French Catholic Church in the 1300s. It's like you had Philip the Ninth, and then you have Philip the Fourth. No, sorry, Louis the Ninth, and then Philip the Fourth. You have the Avignon Papacy. I made a joke. I was like, J.D. Vance is going to kidnap Pope Francis and install a puppet pope that moves the papacy to Baltimore. That's going to happen.
It could happen.
Have the American, the Baltimorean papacy.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens in Canticle for Leibowitz. They move Rome to the United States because of nuclear winter or what have you.
That's funny.
It's definitely on the same continent as Utah. So I wouldn't be opposed. I think Rome had its time. They did okay.
they kept it together.
But why? Think about this. Why was the papacy in Rome? It's where Peter died. Why did Peter die there? Because Rome was the center of the world at the time. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years later, center of the world has shifted, baby. No longer is the center of the world where there's large men smoking and drinking espresso in the streets.
This was the argument for the Avignon papacy, was that the center of the West has shifted to France. But I think we collectively decided no.
Dude, I think it'd be cool. It'd be like a DLC for the church. Like, we'd get a new Vatican every couple centuries, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like the post game. It's like, this is the post-liberal Europe. We have a post-liberal...
You move it around.
Center of empire. Yeah.
Imagine every 4 years there was a global contest. Like, where's the Vatican going to be this...
Like Eurovision, for the next but for the papacy.
Like Eurovision for the papacy.
Yeah.
And the best...
Everyone kind of fights...
And the best kind of homosexual Ukrainian rap group gets to be the Curia when they win, you know? I think that would be great. Amazing. I think we should do that. And then the Vatican, it could be like the Olympics. It could be on the same schedule as the Olympics. So it'd be on the odd years in between the winter and the summer Olympics. We would do the Vatican Euro. And then Eurovision could be on the... No, Eurovision could be on the other one.
Yes.
So it'll be every year. It'll be...
Every four years we have Summer Olympics, Eurovision,
yes.
Winter Olympics,
the
papacy,
the Vatican Games. I just watched the finale of Beast Games with my wife.
No spoilies.
Damn near cried my head off like a little baby.
I thought that ended.
The most recent episode came out today.
Oh, wow.
Skip if you don't want any Beast Game spoilers. I doubt that's anyone that's listening to this podcast. But the guy that won, he's a dad. He's got two young kids, and his youngest kid has like an incurable brain disease. And so he won $10 million. And so he's going to put it all towards like finding a cure for his kid. And he's crying. The family's crying. I'm crying. Because he's talking about how much he loves his kids, and Jimmy's just standing there like, "You just won $10 million." He's like, "I love my family so much." And Jimmy doesn't know how to process anything other than like an amount of money that you have now,
yeah,
or like don't have.
He can't process anything except for a number. You know, he's very. It's a specific type of autism. People keep commenting on Mr. Beast's eyes. They're like, he's not smiling with his eyes. I'm like, guys, he's a severely autistic man.
He's a very autistic.
Please stop being so ableist.
Yeah. The man just wants to play his little... did you know that he became number one in the world on a mobile game because he paid someone to just like be on his phone all day so that he wouldn't like get behind in the game? Because it was like one of those where you had to like constantly, I don't know what the name of the game was. It's like a Clash of Clans-esque game. And so he just has a full-time person that just runs his game for him so that he doesn't go down in the leaderboards. Based.
Yes. Like I said, this man is deeply autistic.
Yeah.
But this is okay. This is good. He found an autistic interest 10 years ago that just so happened to become one of the most important media platforms in the world.
Yeah, ever.
Hit the lottery basically in terms of, you know, imagine if the entire world tomorrow was like, the guy who makes the most money is the guy who knows the most about trains. And then every autistic guy would be like, I'm going to make millions. I know so much about trains. I go to that stereotypical well too much about autistic people liking trains. I saw this weird commercial today about Down syndrome.
Yeah, what about
it? Have you see this commercial?
I don't see commercials.
It was a commercial, but it was on... I only see commercials on the internet when they're posted. You know what I mean? Like, they're... Mm. Like, oh, this commercial was weird.
Yeah.
It was a very high-functioning girl with Down syndrome talking about how she can do everything. But the only reason why you don't think she can do everything is because you don't let her. you don't serve me a margarita, so you don't think I can drink a margarita. Hmm. You don't teach me Shakespeare, so I don't. You don't think I can learn Shakespeare. So give me the margarita, and then I'll and assume I can have a margarita, and then I'll have a margarita. Assume I can read Shakespeare, and then I'll read effing Shakespeare. Bet you assumed I couldn't swear either. I can dance. I can have sex. And I was like, this took a turn.
What is happening?
This took a turn.
This Down syndrome girl is swearing and having sex?
I.
It sounds like she needs Christ.
It does. It certainly does. We assumed
the Down syndrome girl needs to repent. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds. We assumed she did not have the capacity for sin. So she sinned, I guess.
Yeah. That's. What was it an ad for Arby's? What was it an ad for?
It was an ad for Down syndrome, I guess. They're really trying to get new ones, I guess.
Yeah, you don't know.
Do you want to be down? Do you want to have Down syndrome? And that's the take the next vaccine. I'm just guessing.
It's just weird that there was no product or service. It was just awareness of
commercials aren't about products or services anymore. They're just
what are they about?
Like winning elections, I think.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg looking at each other going, I hate you because you're different. Like that doesn't sell a product. That just like furthers a political agenda.
I feel like you've seen way more commercials than me recently.
Well, I mean, there was a big event recently that included a lot of commercials.
Didn't watch.
Didn't. Okay, that's fine.
Didn't watch it. I was watching
Ethan, Ethan's the guy that sits there. Ethan's the guy that's sitting back there like, go sports ball.
I'm actually not. I'm actually like, I would have watched the Super Bowl if my wife would have wanted to. Yeah. But I was coming back from a trip. We put our kids to bed. She hadn't seen me all weekend. And so we just did what she wanted to do. And fair. She did not want to watch the Super Bowl. And I don't care enough to...
Yeah.
I think what's cool is like you should be supportive of people who like sports, but then you should not be addicted to it yourself. You know, that's like the most normal position to take.
The only time I get into any sports is during the playoffs, which is the best part. I just skip the whole part, the beginning part.
The slog, yeah.
And then I go to October. It's like, oh, cool, baseball. Man. Let's watch the postseason.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, let's check the standings. I'm not watching a football game every week. I don't have time for that. Let's check the standings in the NFL. Great. I'm excited. Who might win the Super Bowl? You know, and then Leo also really likes football now, so that's fine. He'll watch a football game and he'll go. He'll just clap in front of him, which is what he sees his grandpa do. It's very funny. But did you see any discourse about, speaking of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Did you see any discourse about the halftime show?
Too much.
What are your thoughts on the halftime? Did you watch the halftime show?
No. No, I haven't seen it.
You didn't like watch the clips of it on the internet?
No.
Hey, you know, just so you're aware, you may not be aware of this. You host a podcast.
Yeah.
That's like about popular things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should be aware of popular things.
Don't be mad at me because I don't care about
Kendrick Lamar. One time John Blevins gave me this whole lecture about how because I was a youth minister, I should know who Ninja is. And I was like, you're a little biased.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of biased.
Here's what I'll tell you about. I've seen the still photos. I understand there's been enough talk about it that I get the vibe of what has happened. I don't need. Here's my opinion about Kendrick Lamar. I was telling somebody about this. Kendrick Lamar is the perfect rapper for white people because
you think so?
Yes, because he makes you feel guilty for being white. So everyone is like, can't say that they don't like him because then they would admit that they don't feel guilty about being white. And you can't not admit that you don't feel guilty about being white. Do you see what I'm saying? So,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So he's perfect for white people and his music is like good enough, you know, that everybody else is like, all right. But his whole thing really seems to be targeted at suburban whites, you know, where it's just kind of like, look at me. And look at this is the world that I've created. You know, it's probably the problem is guys like Anthony Fantano who like lose their mind over Kendrick Lamar. I bought into it for a while. I know most of the words to King Kunta. I used to say all of them.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I got a bone to pick.
I still say every single one. I forgot about King Kunta. Why didn't he do King Kunta at the Super Bowl halftime show?
I don't know.
I feel like more people would know that one than TV Off.
I think people like to say they like Kendrick Lamar because it's like a group signaling thing, you know, for white people. It's like, oh, I like the guy that makes me feel bad for being white. And everyone's like, oh yeah, that's very brave of you. You know, no white person is admitting that their favorite rapper is Eminem, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't.
Some might be.
The Zoomers canceled Eminem. So
they did have Eminem at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I just don't, does it matter? Like, I just didn't watch it. And so it doesn't matter, but I'm sure it matters to a lot of people. What was the problem?
Well, first of all, yeah, it did matter. They had the same, the Super Bowl halftime show this year had the same as Michael Jackson in 1993. So like, say
same
what
number
you will
of people
about,
watching?
Yes. So 133 million people watched the
That's
Super
cool.
Bowl halftime show. Yeah.
That's great.
I do think they thought that she was going to win.
Of course.
And I think they did a hard pivot. They were like, all right, we got to take the racism thing off the Super Bowl field. We got to take it off the field.
Yep.
We got it. But a lot of the NFL stuff was very much like left coded, mm-hmm, and even choosing Kendrick Lamar for the halftime show. Even last year, they did, you know, they did an all black Super Bowl halftime show. They kind of did that again. Obviously, it was easy to do because it's just one guy. And mustard.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Catholic men, if you want to be a great man, you have to know yourself first. And I will admit, I used to think I knew myself pretty well until I did Exodus 90. I thought that giving up social media would be hard because I love tweeting. However, it was television that was hard for me, honestly, because I admit I watch The Office on my phone while I'm getting ready and doing things. And so when I had to give up television and I had to sit in silence, I was like, oh no, I have to be alone with my thoughts. That's terrifying. But it was good because I got to talk to God more, and also my wife, the two people who are the most important in my life. At that point, the only two people that were important in my life, Leo had not yet been born. So when I did Exodus 90 in 2022, I was able to reconnect with my wife, reconnect with my God, and prepare the way for my little bundle of joy who is potty training now. So pray for us. All that is to say, if you've been considering doing Exodus 90 every single year for the last like 10 years, now is your time to do it. Okay. Stop pussyfooting around, which is something you can say on a non-explicit podcast because that is a word, pussyfoot. Stop pussyfooting around and go to exodus90.com/crunch, exodus90.com/crunch, and get a 14-day free trial of their mobile app that is essential to the experience of Exodus 90. Trust me on that. Don't wait, because Exodus 90 starts on January 20th. Hop in that cold shower and give up all non-essential things in your life except for this podcast, which, as you know, is the most essential thing in your life. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring another episode of The Crunch Bagel. I hope this ad was funny. All right, man, listen, I try my best. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Now back to your regularly scheduled crunching.
What's going on?
Mustard?
You had mustard at the game.
They had a fella named Mustard on the halftime show with Mr. Lamar.
DJ Mustard?
Yes.
The beat producer?
Yes. Mustard on
the beat. Mustard on the beat.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know about
that. Yeah, that guy. Great. Whose name is Dijon. That's why I think that's funny.
That's funny.
I think it's funny to name your kid Dijon. I don't think you should, though.
It's funny to name your kid Dijon and then he grows up to just call himself Mustard. That's hilarious. Like, it's like naming your kid Caviar. It's like, my name's Eggs.
My name's Eggs. My DJ name is Eggs.
My parents named me Caviar, but I go by Eggs.
Anyway, but so the halftime show, the right wing kind of talking point is they're like, wow, he did It was all American flags and Uncle Sam and Uncle Sam. Like patriotic stuff. Yeah. And the right wing commentators are like, wow, it was a patriotic halftime show. Or at the very least, like, it was not an unpatriotic halftime
show. Right. It was
show.
Not you, anti-American.
Yeah. Which is for Kendrick Lamar.
Great.
Is a, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the left wing talking points of the Super Bowl halftime show is, wow, I can't, that he did it. He stood up to power. He did an anti-American halftime show in front of the president. Which is just placing yourself in the court jester role. Let you yeah. know, it's just it's placing yourself. It's kind of, it's anyway, it's like the president standing in this arena of a million people. It's like, you're just making him the emperor. You've that's what you've done. You've made right. him the emperor and you're the gladiator.
I can't believe he did that in front of Anne Hathaway. You know, like nobody's exactly. saying that. Arguably just as much of an American icon as Donald Trump, Anne Hathaway.
Indeed, I would say indeed. I would say yeah. maybe more so. Donald Trump wasn't in Princess Diaries 2.
Donald Trump could not fit in a tight leather bodysuit in Batman 3, the Nolan version.
I think he could, actually.
We're going to steal a lot of pearls, a lot of jewels. Bruce Wayne, broken knee. I'm very attractive, and I'm wearing leather.
Donald Trump as Bruce Wayne.
Donald Trump as
Batman. I am the knight. Where are the other drugs going?
It's the hard, the advanced level is doing the Trump impression with the Batman voice, which is really hard.
We'll get it to once. Yeah. Once.
Let me go into the cave, and I'll come back out next week with that impression ready to go.
Once James is done hanging out with all of his famous friends, he can come on the show, and he can bring yeah. his other famous friend to do a Trump Batman cross.
I don't think Shane Gillis is going to come on our podcast, but I appreciate your optimism.
I think you're wrong. I think one day he will. Yes, I think one day our podcast will be big enough to have Shane Gillis on the pod.
Maybe we get some more patrons.
That's patreon.com/thecrunch. Big things coming. You want to be the first one to hear about it? We got a big thing launching on Easter Sunday this year. So become a patron before Easter Sunday, and you get to see all the behind the scenes up until Easter Sunday. It's gonna be exciting.
It's very exciting stuff. Patreon.com/thecrunch. Keep going.
So you have on one side the people who are like, oh yeah, that was like an American thing, mm-hmm. and you know it's Uncle Sam. And on the other side, you're like, he's Uncle Sam. Like Uncle Tom, and Samuel Jackson played the house so and so, the house elf in Django Unchained, and Kendrick Lamar was saying that America is anti-rap and rap is anti-America, and it's I don't want to talk about the halftime show. What I want to talk about is this concept called I forget what it's called, but it's like the phrase is. One screen, two movies, like two movies on one screen.
Orokusaki. Have you heard this?
That's not, is that what it is? Is that the name?
Orokusaki is the name of the samurai that trained Splinter the Rat in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think that's probably what it is, actually.
You think so?
It has the word Roku in it. And Roku.
Tubisaki.
Tubisaki.
Tubisaki. What's it called? One screen, two movies.
Yeah. Or is it two movies, one screen?
Two movies, one screen. Why other people seem conflicting conspiracy theories? Scott Adams tweeted two movies on one screen.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain the topic instead of you looking it up.
Well, does it have a name? I'm trying to find the name.
I don't think it has a name, but it's just something that Scott Adams says a lot. It's two movies on one screen. The idea is that we're all watching the same events, but we have completely divergent understandings, and those events are confirming our biases. Another great example is the airplanes that keep crashing.
Yeah. What's going on with the airplanes?
The airplanes keep crashing. There's like the commercial first commercial airline crash since 2009. You have a fighter jet that just flew into something in the Pacific. There was a plane that crashed in Philly. And a lot of people, the right is like, ah, this, but see, this is an example of why DEI was so bad under Biden. And then the left is like, ah, only 2 weeks in office and Trump is already making planes fall out of the sky. It's just, it's one screen, two movies,
yes.
two movies. And the fight is to try and get people to see the movie that you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the fight is to get everyone to see the same screen or the same movie.
It should be the, you know? There should be the, you should get your movie to match up with reality. You should, we should be able to see something and be like, that's, this is what this is. The problem
that's
is.
That's what I was telling you about on the phone the other day.
Oh, you, in your voice
I
message?
I sent you a voice memo. Yeah.
Yes. I heard the beginning of it.
Yeah. It's okay if you didn't listen to the whole thing. I texted Ethan a voice message and I was like, this is,
I can play it right now on the
related.
Podcast.
This
if
is
you
not
want
related
to
anything. No, I can just explain it to
okay.
you.
Okay. 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 Okay.
It's not a multimedia show. This is just a regular show. I think what you just said is apt. The goal is to make sure that the movie you're watching is reality and not the right movie or the left movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that modern political discourse, not just liberalism in general, but like the America specifically, our discourse is a fight between two realities. It's the unreal and the ideal. These are the two fights. The unreal side is trying to create a world that does not exist and could never exist. Like it could never exist. It does not exist. That's mostly the left, right? Like we're trying to make a world where you can cut a kid's penis off and it's fine. You know, like that's not a real world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, man cannot become a woman. The other side often, it's sometimes some people on the left and people on the right both do this, but the other side is the ideal. It's a world that in theory could exist, but will never exist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the world that's like every mother has a full-time job and a bunch of kids. And also the no one is hungry and everyone has a job that makes six figures and no one never needs to worry about buying food. Like that's the ideal. And I think a lot of us, when we have conversations, we're pushed towards the unreal or the ideal on a given issue. And for example, that issue might be abortion. We're pushed towards the unreal world where what if abortion was okay? It's not. Then we push to another world where it's like, what if abortion was completely illegal and no one ever did it? That's not where we are right now. Let's focus on the real. Let's mm-hmm. focus on the real. What is an improvement that we could do to this world in front of us right now? I think another example is the immigration issue, right? People are being pushed towards the unreal, which is countries have no borders. The left is pushed towards the country has no borders. That's just not possible. That's not a realistic world. The world would fall apart if we had no borders. And then I think people on the right that are, you know, anti-Trump's immigration policies are being pushed towards the ideal. Well, the government can just help whoever comes in. That would be amazing. I would love it if we could just if we were overflowing with wealth that you taxed me at 15%, that's as high as I'm gonna go. You tax me at 15% and we can pay for everybody to have Sesame Street in their language, in their city, you know, in their country. That'd be awesome. That's ideal, that's not real. And instead we're talking about the real. And I think that's the place where political discourse needs to be, is we need to talk about what is real. Not what is ideal, not what is unreal. What do you think?
Well, it's hard to disagree.
Do you think what I've said is an accurate reflection of our political discourse?
I don't know if I would divide it as unreal and ideal. I think both people are living in unreality. Like if you're not living in reality, you're living in unreality in some way.
Sure.
And I think there's ideals in both of them. Like in, for example, like for some people, being able to chop off a kid's penis is the ideal, you know.
Yeah.
And for other people, that's unreality. So I think it's like
mm-hmm.
it feels like a non-distinction, because everybody who's just interpreting the world in their own way. If you're interpreting the world not in the way that is according to Christ and His Church, then you're wrong, unfortunately. And so, but the problem is that nobody who is Catholic or Christian even knows how to get people to view the same screen that you're viewing.
Mm-hmm.
We know really well how to explain what movie we're watching. We do a really good job at that. Like
Yes.
Oh, but you don't understand. Like the at Fatima, the sun danced and a bunch of people saw it. Who cares? Like nobody, yeah. nobody cares. Oh, and then in Buenos Aires in 1990s, there was this Eucharistic host that was found and they put it in water. And then out of the water was a red crescent. And then an atheist scientist came and he studied it and he found that it was blood from an active cardiovascular system. And then he converted to Catholicism. Isn't that so cool? It is. Nobody cares. Like,
unfortunately,
I say that kind of with sarcasm, because those stories do convert some people, but for the average person, they're not even in the same movie theater as you. If you're not in the same movie theater, you can't expect someone to be like, oh yeah, I would love to watch Eucharistic Miracle 2 instead of Sola Scriptura 1. You know, they're watching Marxist communist homosexuality movie theater movie.com, you know, and they're not going to. So I just think we're really bad at marketing our films. Can I put it that way? The marketing department for our movies, they're doing a very bad job. We need to redesign Sonic. I've always said that.
You've Sonic is ugly.
We got to redesign him. You know, this is what happened in the first live action Sonic movie. They had to redesign Sonic because he was so ugly. And
what a marketing. They did that just for marketing. They wasted $500,000 for marketing.
I think Sonic was actually ugly, and they were like,
I think they were just trying to make him.
We had no idea that Sonic was ugly.
I love old Sonic. I think they should bring him back. I'm really glad they brought ugly Sonic back for Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I'm really excited they did that.
I don't know what that is.
You didn't see Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers the movie?
I know Chip and Dale is a restaurant.
It's also a type of furniture, and it's two little furry guys from Disney World.
They sell furniture at Disney World?
So you've heard of Chip and Dale. You certainly have. I know you're not that far removed from the culture.
I've never seen any media with Chip and Dale, the two furry animals, in it.
But you're familiar with the Disney Chipmunks, correct?
I'm familiar with the concept of chipmunks made by Disney, yes.
All right, so Disney has two. I guess we'll start from the beginning. Didn't watch Super Bowl. Didn't see Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
That's not the most popular film.
The thing is, you're doing the thing where it's like, I don't have a TV, but you're doing it like a decade too late. Where, you know,
I'm not even doing the I don't have a TV thing. It's like I'm trying to talk to you. I'm giving you a chance to explain to me the thing that I don't know about, so that we can have a conversation about it. I'm not trying to be obtuse at all. Tell me about your two furry friends.
Living in Pittsburgh, you meet some furries. That's the thing.
They did have that furry convention.
They have that furry convention. Andrew
on Stanwyck Street.
Tweets. Yeah, it's close to Stanwyck Street.
Close to Stanwyck Street.
So Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is a movie they did on Disney Plus. That's okay. It's kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's cartoons and the. So you've seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I know about Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's a great movie about a bunny film. and another woman that a lot of people are attracted to online, even though I think she's also an animal. Not sure.
I think she is an animal, but the cartoons and the people are living in the same world, and the idea that the plot is that Chip and Dale. From when they were in Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, they're getting back together and for another adventure, and one of them undergoes surgery to become 3D, like plastic surgery.
Oh wow.
Functionally, yeah. And there's like the main villain is Peter Pan, but he's grown up and he's running a syndicate that bootlegs movies. It's really funny.
Awesome.
But they have ugly Sonic in the movie. He's at a con, a convention, and he's signing papers or whatever. And
that's
he's like,
so
I'm ugly
funny.
Sonic. It's funny.
That's great. And this movie is called Chip and Dale's The Restaurant, the movie.
Chip and Dale's The Rescue Rangers.
The Rescue Rangers. Rescue Rangers to me conjures a completely different cast of characters. You know,
like what?
Like the big burly fireman and the
You're thinking
the
of
girl.
Rescue Heroes.
Rescue Heroes. Yes. That's where I got stuck.
That's what
you're
thinking of.
I was thinking about the woman that got stuck with her foot in a rock and she had to use sonar to talk to the whales to escape.
Oh, yeah. That was from that movie, 127 Hours. That's what it was.
I love Dave Franco.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue
snorkel. Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach. And so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. We're going to go back to what we were talking about, which is how do we market the movie better?
How do we market our movie better?
Mm-hmm. I think it's... I've experienced a lot of this week in my own personal X the Everything app hell, where I tweeted something that happened to me, and everyone was like, this means you're Hitler. This is what this means.
That happens, yeah.
So I had a conversation. I was in my old stomping grounds, Manhattan, Kansas. And I saw the young priest. He's probably our age, maybe younger. It was so funny. You'll actually really find this funny. So I was at the bar. It was for my brother's birthday. Mm. And so I went up. I was up there for like 36 hours, super short trip. But I was at the bar, and the priest comes. And it's like me and this priest and my other brother who's not on Twitter. He doesn't know anything. He's on with the podcast. He doesn't know anything about anything. We're just talking to this priest. And I asked him, what's the most exciting thing that's going on in ministry right now? And he starts telling me about how there's all these young men that are getting introduced to conservative classical ideas through people like Nick Fuentes and Bronze Age Pervert that he's having conversations with and like bringing them into the faith. And I was like, oh, you're talking. So we started talking about Nick Fuentes, and my brother was like, who's Nick Fuentes? I was like, he's this homosexual. It's not super important, but he's and then we brought up Bronze Age Pervert. He's like, who's that? I goes, it's just a different homosexual. That's also not important. It was just this great, great conversation. So we were talking to this priest. He's like, yeah, there's all these different right-wing influences. Some of them positive, some of them negative. Some of them are closer to the truth. Some of them are further away. But overall, there's a lot more. He said he was at a bar and he heard a conversation of like four dudes talking about original sin, just like on a Friday night. You know, and they saw his collar and they're like, Father, get over here. We need some, let's help us talk about this. Only like three of them, one of them was Catholic. The other three weren't. They just were, they were just chatting it up. So it's not like these are converted Catholic people who are talking. It's just like dudes are having conversations about God and spirituality and the soul and their position in life. And I was like, that's cool. That's interesting. And I tweeted that. And everybody was like, we don't want those people in our church. Those people, we don't know if they've really truly converted, because they're probably just converting because they want to be right-wing culture warriors. And they're using Catholicism as a cheap skin suit.
You know what? You know what that,
which is crazy, because that's just not what I said. That's just not what I said. I said the rightward shift in culture is leading men to mass, and some of them are converting. It's just crazy to read that and then assume, oh, so none of those guys are actually converted. That's just like a wild way to live your life. That, to me, that's just sad.
And
you know,
what Christians need to understand. You need to burn these verses into your brain to understand how to talk to people and not be so
Josh.
That's what you need. This is what you need. You need to understand the tension between these two verses. I don't know where they are in the Bible. Don't ask me. But Jesus is talking to his disciples in one place, and he talks to them in another. And in one place, he talks to his disciples, and he says, whoever is not for me is against me. Very clear. Very clear cut. If you are not a Christian, you are against Christ. So we must get people to Christ. We must get people to be for Christ. Then later, talking to his disciples, they're like, hey, why are these guys baptizing in the name of Jesus? They're not with us.
And they're not our friends.
Yeah, he goes, whoever is not against you is for you. There's a double standard there. And the double standard is based on one very simple premise, and it's that you're not God. So whoever, it doesn't matter if someone is for you or not, because you aren't important. You and I are not important. Your political views are not important. It's Jesus who's important. And so if this person is for Christ,
yeah,
then they are for Christ. And if they're not against you, they're for you. Now, Jesus is making an obvious, if someone is against you, then they're against you. But if someone is not against you, neutral, maybe they're against something that you believe in. Mm-hmm. But if they're not against you, they are for you. So burn that into your brain. And this needs to be the way you talk to people that disagree with you.
This applies equally to someone like Nick Fuentes, who I'm like very skeptical of and don't trust.
Yes.
But I believe he has faith of some level in God. And so it's like, if he's not against me, all right. So I'll be the same way about Pope Francis on the other side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Everyone with the document he released is like, oh, he's opposing, you know, American J.D. Vance on immigration, da-da-da-da-da. It's like he disagrees with one guy on one thing, you know?
That's fine.
Does that mean we all have to, like, poop our pants and, like, completely lose our minds because, like, this guy over here or that guy over there? It's like, you know, in an ideal world, one day, 100 years from now, you and me are in heaven with Nick Fuentes and Pope Francis. We're all having a great time, you know, because there's something.
The J.D. Vance part of heaven, please. Not the Nick Fuentes.
We're going to hang out in the J.D. We're going to hang out in the hillbilly elegy part of heaven.
We're going to hang out in the hillbilly theology lounge.
Whoa.
Did you see the NCR wrote an article making fun of J.D. Vance? And they're like, oh, you're hillbilly. That's right. You're so uneducated. You don't understand. I'm like, you guys are such jagweeds. So you guys, this is the same. I wanted to say this to your friend that you were talking to the other day, who referred to us as he was saying something. Ethan was talking to someone after after Ethan's little right wing comment. This one fellow, who I'm not going to name because he's already been blasted by the Washington Post. Not worth it.
I see.
But he was whining about us. And he was like, oh, I bet they hate Vatican II. And I'm like, here's the thing. You think you understand who you're talking to and you don't. You've lumped us into this group. And he called us groypers, right? And it's like, you don't know what you mean. You're lumping us into this group that you can hate. And you're pushing us away from you. And this is why you lost. Yeah. And this is why you will continue to lose. It's because the right just so happened to be the one that did this time. The left could in the future, but this one key secret to winning elections, which is building a coalition. They built a coalition of people who disagree with each other, but they made a place where it's okay to disagree. And this was not always the case with the right. It used to not be okay to disagree on the right. If you even kind of deviated a little bit from the party loyalty, you were called a socialist or a progressive. Do you remember this? Do you recall this? This is common.
I remember the Tea Party.
Yes, I remember
that
as well.
And they made fun of Sarah Palin because she could see Russia from her house. Now, in my opinion, that is a geopolitical advantage to have someone who can see Russia from her house.
Yes.
I don't think you should get someone to get rid of that. keep an eye, right. They're keeping an eye on her. She's keeping an eye on them. Then we can leave Sarah Palin up there and we don't have to worry about her.
Don't worry about her anymore. She will make sure nothing happens. But this is the problem that I've found with left-leaning Catholicism is that they are refusing to build coalitions with people who disagree with them. And it's a problem.
Because it means it truly, I mean, if left-wing Catholicism was to build a coalition, right-wing Catholics would have to be in that coalition because we're the only ones that agree that the Pope is the vicar of Christ and that Jesus is fully present in the Eucharist and the Catholic Church is the bulwark and pillar of truth. You know, it just means that like, oh, but, you know, we might disagree with them on how they interpret how ministry should go to homosexuals and transgenders.
Yeah.
We might disagree on how a political and ministerial approach to immigration and illegal immigration might go. But we still agree on way more than what we disagree on, which is why I don't understand. Like, maybe I'm naive and foolish, but it just is crazy to me that people are so eager to jump down each other's throats, especially with all the stuff recently about everything. I don't understand this feeling is like, as a Christian, I cannot share a church with someone like that. And it's like, well, that's kind of the, not to be reductionist, you know, but like in a lot of ways, Jesus was like, you're going to have to be in believers with a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah.
You know, because that's why I came.
Even the first guys he brought together, he brought a tax collector and a zealot.
Yeah.
Yikes. I don't know if you're familiar with the word zealot, but they didn't like traitors, race traitors.
All I know is that there are thirst traps of Simon the Zealot on Instagram.
He kind of looks like Drake.
From The Chosen. He does look a little bit like Drake.
Looks a lot like Drake. Yeah. I think to wrap this, I think this all connects.
That's just a minor point, though.
Everyone.
Mustard.
That's how you know this actually underscores a point that I made earlier this week. That's how you know that Kendrick Lamar is a rapper for white people. People love that bar.
They love it.
They're like, oh, that's so clever. It is probably a C+ in terms of cleverness.
It doesn't hold a candle to Lil Wayne's weakest verse. It doesn't.
Correct. Real G's moving G's silence moving like silence lasagna. Dude, come on.
Imagine if that was the, because Lil Wayne and Trump are friends. So like that would have been such a better halftime show as if we got 6 foot, 7 foot, and Amelie live.
He doesn't
blasted to the whole
words,
country.
So
make up new ones. You'll be fine.
He could probably do it.
Yeah, he did get his brain blasted by sipping on perp. Or lean, or whatever they drink over there.
Whatever they drink over there in California? Where is he from?
I don't know where he lives. Atlanta?
No, maybe? He's from New Orleans. Miami? He's from New Orleans.
New Orleans. There you go.
So the wrapping it up with a bow here.
Yeah. Jesus calls us to be in church with people.
The way that you push the screens together and get everyone to watch the same screen is by being willing to discuss things with people you disagree with. Because you need to be able to talk to people who reasonably disagree on difficult topics. One of the most frustrating things to me is how everyone has a simple solution to immigration. How do you know? How you are one guy who works in accounting in South Carolina. How do you know how to fix this millions of people entering a country? How do you know how to do 10,000 new people from not America moved into New York City every month for like 4 years? That's a lot of people. How do you know what to do with that?
Build more buildings, taller buildings.
It's how do you don't even understand the scale of what we're talking about with like these people moving in, and what you don't know all the complexities of how they got here, whether they should be here or not. And it's like, it's silly to think that reasonable people cannot disagree on this issue. And I do think the Pope's letter served to harm that. Actually, it further, at least the way that people are using it, it kind of further divided people, being like, ah, see, the Pope gave us a very simple solution to this problem. He didn't. He said, meditate on the Good Samaritan. Okay. All right.
Yeah. He said, we need a system where nobody is privileged and nobody sacrifices. And it's like, okay. So you want to make a law where nobody wins and nobody loses. And winning means you get to move to the United States, and losing means you don't get to move to the United States. So your solution is that everyone gets to move to the United States. That is a solution.
Ideal,
I will grant you that.
Maybe that's an unreal solution. Maybe you're right there. Maybe there is no solution.
Maybe Pope Francis is a secret American expansionist, and he just wants us to... Nobody's talked about this.
He actually wants us to manifest destiny across the Pacific into China.
Yes.
So he doesn't have to deal with the Chinese government anymore. He wants us to fix that problem.
He clearly finds it much easier to deal with the American government, as he's writing open letters to the globe directly about the American government. And he is not willing to do that to the Chinese government. So
I do
maybe
think
that's what he wants.
Maybe. I do think that if he was really trying to call out J.D. Vance, he should have just called
J.D. Vance.
It's not
if you're the vice president and the Pope's calling. There's very few things that are more important than the Pope calling ever.
Even if J.D. Vance wasn't Catholic, the Pope is a head of a pretty influential state, even though it's tiny and like not really like not like a state.
Let's think
like,
about the people that are loyal to the Pope. He commands. He has armies. J.D. Vance has what? A Hulk? No.
I want to keep ranting about the letter because I have so many thoughts, but it's probably not.
We can do that in the bonus pod.
Yeah.
I would love for that to happen in the bonus pod, because I think that our regular audience needs to hear something different from us every once in a while.
I think the different thing is that for political conversations, we need to be understanding that reasonable people can disagree on difficult topics together. And there are some, this is not a centrist point. There are certain things that it's like, okay, no reasonable person can, you can't reasonably disagree on whether or not children should be castrated, right? That's not, no one who's sane thinks that's okay. And so it's, you know, you can't have reasonable conversations about that, but like reasonable people can have conversations about difficult topics. And just because someone disagrees with you does not mean they are a Nazi or even a communist. So there you go. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I think it's fine to be, I would rather be in a position where I'm frustrated with people and I don't understand. Cause there's a lot of people online. I don't understand half of what Katie McGrady believes on X. I love that woman to death. I trust her deeply. I think her and I's relationship is probably the best example of this. I think her and I are probably on the opposite ends of most hot button issues, but we share everything else. We both, you know, love the Pope. We love the church. We love evangelization. We love talking about the church and evangelization on a radio show. It's like, we have so much in common, but it's just like the angle that we approach things is slightly different. Mm-hmm. You know,
I want to have the relationship that you have with Katie Prejean McCready with Jimmy Dean Flynn, with old JD.
Yeah, I think we should have her and him on the show and be like, all right, you're our liberal mom and dad.
We're your conservative sons.
Tell
us what we're doing wrong, which is how the world works now, apparently, is that being old is being a boomer lib and being young is being a trad conservative. Trad conservative.
Yeah. I think that would be an interesting, interesting conversation. All right, well let's wrap it up.
You get more liberal as you get older. That's what people will start saying.
I'm a social liberal, but a social conservative, but a fiscal liberal. Nobody says that.
No,
nobody ever says that. Go to patreon.com/thecrunch. We need someone to do thumbnails for our YouTube video so we can get more than 150 to 200 views per video. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. YouTube's going really well. We want to invest into it. We can't do it unless we have more money. So if you think this show is good and we say good and important things about the church, about Catholicism, about culture, and you think we're funny and you like us and we like you, man, then go to patreon.com/thecrunch. $5 a month. Will really, really help us out. If you want the bonus show, $10 a month. That's all. Patrick, you have anything else?
Tune in next week where Ethan and I will release successive diss tracks about each other. One of them will be 7 minutes long.
Those goes. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we will see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.